Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. We are so delighted to have you with us today. We don't know how to handle it. Sam, can you figure out how we're going to be able to handle this idea that we've got these people with us today? Any suggestions?
Gary, that's what you are there for, and you will do a great job of handling whatever comes up in this program. I have no doubt.
Yeah, well, I was just looking for some help. Dave, do you have some insight?
Well, if Sam can't help you, Gary, we're in trouble. That's all I'll say.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have you all with us, no matter where you might be listening and however you might be listening. We know some of you listen on radio, some of you listen on the internet, and it's just a delight to have you with us. If you are a new listener on a new radio station or a station that we've been on for a long time, this is Stand in the Gap Today. It's produced by the American Pastors Network, and you can go to our website, our radio website, which is standinthegapradio.com, and at that particular site you can learn more about us as a ministry. You can learn about the hosts of this particular program, and you can even communicate with us on that particular site, and I would encourage you to do that. But we are delighted to have you with us today and have a great program lined up for you. In the second and the third segment of the program today, we're going to be having with us Scott Lancer. And Scott is the Director of Associates for Biblical Research, referred to as ABR in some circles. And it's a Christian apologetics ministry dedicated to demonstrating the historical reliability of the Bible through archaeological and biblical research. And we've got some exciting things that we're going to be talking about with him, as I said, in the second and in the third segment. So you will want to make sure that you're there and you're listening to everything that he has to say. But before we go to Scott in a few minutes, Sam, it appears as though the situation with Kim Davis is continuing down there in Kentucky, and we certainly need to continue to pray for her, don't we, as well as the broader perspective here, that there is an attack on Christians, and particularly when a Christian wants to take a strong stand for the Lord, it just seems like, you know, whether it's the government or the atheists or the humanists, they just want to come against us. And that's really what's going on down here in Kentucky with Kim Davis, in my opinion.
Well, I think so too, Gary. And we want to make sure that this does not immediately get shoved into the recesses of history. The press and those who are opposed to Kim Davis would like her attention in the press to disappear and to disappear quickly. We do not believe that should be done. Neither do some of the candidates like Mike Huckabee, who was there and was accused of using it for opportunism, which I do not believe to be true. But the fact of the matter is, Kim Davis is there on the line. Her situation could surface again, and it does need to be addressed. And we do need to understand that the laws in the judicial system, at least in this country, is increasingly hostile to Christianity.
Well, it is, and we have a clip that we want to play. Sam, you can set this clip up. It's actually a word from Mike Huckabee himself in relationship to this Kim Davis situation. Correct.
Yes, it was. It was just an interview that he did this morning on Fox News, and it was just one 60-second clip that I thought that that would be interesting for us to listen to.
Okay. Let's listen to it, Russ.
It is unbelievable. Governor, what's the message by what she's gone through out in Kentucky? What's the message to people of faith regarding this?
Well, I think people need to wake up and realize that the people of faith in this country are genuinely under attack. This is not about giving certain people their rights. It's about denying others theirs. And that's why you see out in Oregon a couple fined $135,000 because they wouldn't make a cake for a same-sex couple. It's why you see people hauled up before civil rights commissions because they wouldn't cater or do the photography for an event. The question is, who's next?
Yeah.
Is it your pastor? Is it your Christian school administrator? If you don't bow down to this really amazingly new and hastily put together definition of marriage, then does that make you a bigot? Does that make you somebody who is going to be pushed by the court and sent to jail? We've already seen the first person go to jail over it.
We have indeed. All right, Governor Mike Huckabee, who is now going to...
Well, that was quite an interesting statement that Mike made there. And David Kistler, you know, I've heard him ask that particular question on a couple of occasions. Who is going to be next? I mean, you're an evangelist. You're going around the country preaching the gospel. I'm a pastor. You know, that we've got school administrators listening to us today, I'm sure. You know, who is next? And we don't know who's next. That's the thing. But it won't surprise me if there wouldn't be those in the government who would like to begin to make examples out of some of us who are out there preaching the Word of God, whether we are a preacher or a school teacher or just a common Christian, as it were. Not to say that if you're not a preacher, you're not up high in God's list, but you understand what I'm saying. What do we do in light of what's going on here today with this battle against Christianity?
Well, Gary, I think it's interesting, number one, that Mike Huckabee referenced Christian school administrators. It tells me that he is keenly aware of the fact that there is a large number of Christian schools out there. There are Christian institutions that are going to be facing backlash over their stance. And so it's interesting to hear him say that. It's encouraging to hear him reference that. It's got to be an encouragement to Christian school teachers and administrators and pastors all over the nation that Mike carries this heavily on his heart. He's obviously done his homework. But, Gary, the thing is this. It will be the pastor that's next, and you said it and said it well. I have no doubt whatsoever that they are going to attempt to make examples out of pastors like they've attempted to make an example out of Kim Davis. So what we have to do, Gary, is we have to be prepared for what may come our way. Now, we push back. We resist. We have a First Amendment. We have a Constitution that guarantees us religious liberty, not just to practice our faith inside the four walls of our institutions of worship, but we have the opportunity to live our faith on the streets of America and certainly in a public sector, government sector job, as is the case with Kim Davis. So we push back, but we also, Gary, have to do this. We have to be prepared for what may come our way, and that is this. If they come after us and they want to incarcerate us, I'm not saying this casually or cavalierly, but we do have to be prepared for that possibility, and I think that's what Mike is trying to awaken the church up to the possibility of taking place.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to mention that I've put together a very small and simple paper on civil disobedience. It will be up on the website of the church that I pastor. That's www.fbcaltuna.org. It will be up later on. You might want to go there and get that. I'll let you know when it's up. It's just something simple that will help you to understand what civil disobedience is all about, and that's what we're facing today. Well, we're going into a break, and when we come back, we will be having with us Scott Lancer, who, of course, is the Director of Associates for Biblical Research. You are not going to want to miss the next two segments of Stand in the Gap today. So go get a cup of coffee, take another bite of your sandwich, whatever the case may be. Be back with us in about 4 minutes as we continue Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. I'm Gary Dahl. Don't you dare go away. We'll see you in four.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our 3-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come
come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Janus Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He was the only U.S. president to also serve as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. After the Spanish-American War, he was appointed the first governor of the Philippines. President Theodore Roosevelt appointed him Secretary of War. The largest president, weighing over 300 pounds, a bathtub was installed for him in the White House big enough to hold four men. His name was William Howard Taft, and he was born this day, September 15, 1857. President Taft stated, "A God-fearing nation like ours owes it to its inborn sense of moral duty to testify devout gratitude to the All-Giver for countless benefits."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure, and in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's prime minister during World War II. But did you know that, after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dull. We also have with us today Scott Lancer, and of course he is the director of the Associates for Biblical Research. He has served professionally in administrative and pastoral leadership for over 25 years. Scott was the business administrator of the Salvation Army in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and a senior director for the Lancaster YMCA, where he directed youth and family programs and provided administrative oversight. Scott is currently the lead pastor of the New Hope Bible Fellowship Church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and has been serving as director of Associates for Biblical Research since 2006. He earned his Bachelor of Science degree in Bible and Christian Education at Lancaster Bible College and holds an M.A. in New Testament Studies from Biblical Theological Seminary. Scott specializes in apologetic ministry to teens and young adults and carries on an active writing and speaking ministry to the body of Christ. Wow, Scott, you are quite the fellow, aren't you, sir?
Well, thank you, Gary. Thank you very much.
And we are delighted to have you with us today on Stand in the Gap. And I'm just wondering if we might get this interview started by asking you to give us a brief description of your ministry. And, you know, you might want to credential the ministry and talk to us about the validity of it and why it is so very essential for the body of Christ today.
Absolutely, Gary. Well, ABR, Associates for Biblical Research, that we exist to focus on the authority of the Bible, because the Bible has been, as probably many of your listeners know, the Bible has been under attack for, well, for many, many, many years. And we exist to use archaeological research, original research, to provide the body of Christ with the ammunition that they need to defend their faith, to you know, when people come at the Bible and they say, well, this is a contradiction, or this didn't happen, or this person never lived, we are there to provide the body of Christ with the scholarly and biblical ammunition they need to defend their faith. So we're really all about the authority of the Bible, the reliability of the Bible. We help Christians stand firm in that. The onslaught of skepticism has really taken its toll on the body of Christ in this postmodern age.
Well, Chris, this is Sam. I've got a question. I'm going to jump right in. We're glad to have you on, really are. As we've talked to you privately to understand some of the things that you're all involved in is amazing, and I hope we have time to get to that. But I would like to start as a fundamental question here. You know, we're witnessing what's happening in the Middle East with ISIS, as an example, and they seem to be bent on destroying historic archaeological type findings that are there, and it seems to be a mentality that they have to get rid of the past. But from a biblical perspective, there's something valuable about remembering the past in what archaeology does. Talk about the philosophy underpinning why you and the others as a part of archaeology find it important to actually dig out the past. Why do we do it, and ideologies like ISIS try to destroy it all?
Well, I think for us as Christians, our fundamental understanding is that God sent Christ in the fullness of time in history. And so God's acts in history, including the sending of Christ, are rooted in a historical understanding of truth. And so if you eradicate the past, you have no mooring, no foundation, no grounding to make any statements about the future or about ultimate meaning. So history is essential. I've had students tell me that history is boring, but I always encourage them. I said we must go beyond that because God has revealed truth in history. He has inscripturated His Word. He has placed His Word before us so that we would know it and understand it. So it's very, very important for us to appreciate the past. And, you know, some people say, well, you're digging around in the dirt, you're digging around these artifacts, and, you know, is that really important? We should be concerned about other things. But the reality of it is that people today, many are questioning the validity of the Bible. They're questioning whether or not people and events of the Bible ever took place. So they're going to reject our entire Christian message, including the gospel, because they don't believe the events that we're describing ever happened. And so archaeology and reasoning that comes forth from research is actually an extremely important part of our witness. So we feel very, very strongly that we need to find these awesome artifacts and discover these cool ancient cities, but connect them to the Bible and say this is where these things connect with the Word of God.
Scott, this is Dave. I know I know you mentioned something in your statement as you were being introduced in your first comments of living in a skeptical world, which indeed we are, and it seems that the millennial generation are those that are perhaps most affected by the skepticism that is so prevalent. Would you speak to this issue? How important is it to you and to your ministry there at ABR whenever you go into a dig like what you're involved in? We're going to talk about that just a little bit later. How important is it to you from a archaeological standpoint, scientific standpoint, to prove that these biblical cities, these biblical locations, these accounts that are recorded in the Old Testament, how important is it to prove that they actually existed specifically for the sake of those in the millennial generation?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, many in the millennial generation don't trust people, and they certainly don't trust those who are just coming out and with these bold, blatant statements of truth. You know, in the with the postmodern parlance, we call these, some of these statements meta-narratives, these big, bold statements like the Ten Commandments and other things like that. They often just question them, and they may even shut down when you begin speaking to them. Now, with millennials, what's essential for ministry is that we build relationships with these young people. We have to build relationships. They will not necessarily trust us, even if we say, well, that's in the Bible, because so many of them automatically in their minds, they're saying, well, why should I trust the Bible? And so sometimes in terms of ministry, it's about building the relationship to the individual and establishing that you as a Christian are a trustworthy person. And then you can move from that to presenting evidence, and then because they trust you, because they see that what you're saying makes sense, what you're providing evidence is, many times that is a much more a powerful way to reach millennials. It takes a lot more work. I mean, there was a day when, you know, maybe sometimes their presentations didn't require so much personal relationship building. I mean, it was always necessary. But today, especially with our millennial generation, they need to know that you are legitimate, and then they'll listen to the message. And, of course, I'm talking about those maybe who don't know Christ. But even the Christian students, the millennial Christian students, they're looking to see if what you're saying has validity. And so with the archaeological work, you know, there's a point at which, and I've had this kind of breakthrough with many conversations, you talk to the students, and at some point as you're presenting wave after wave after wave of evidence that shows that the Bible is true, that it is legitimate, there is like a light goes off, and these students really, really wake up, and they're drawn to that. But as I say, it just takes a lot of work to get there sometimes.
You know, Scott, I've often been told that archaeological finds, archaeological digs, have never disproven the Bible. As a matter of fact, every archaeological dig that's ever been done substantiates and confirms what the Bible says. And we're rapidly running out of time in this first segment, but my question is, what are some of the top archaeological discoveries that have made a strong affirmation of the biblical accounts?
Well, we have a lot of them, and boy, I would love to go into more detail on all these things, and of course people can contact me if they have more questions. But, you know, we have affirmations, Old Testament affirmations. You know, we have the settlements at Ramses when you're talking about Joseph in the Old Testament and his time in Egypt. We have the royal compound at Ramses. You know, these locations are proving important information. For instance, like we talk about the Israelites living there at Ramses, the Israelites being in existence in Egypt. Well, they said for years, critics said for years, well, you know, there is no palace. There is nothing there where the Bible says the Israelites lived. Well, they've discovered these amazing palaces there now at Ramses that affirm the truth of Scripture. And you can go through Old Testament, New Testament, and again, I could give many examples, but there's a wonderful treasure trove of truth affirming the Scripture.
Well, praise the Lord for that. Of course, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and here at the American Pastors Network, along with you, Scott, we believe in the authority of Scripture. But it's great when an archaeological find actually comes along and affirms what the Bible says. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Scott Lancer, the Director of Associates for Biblical Research. You won't want to go away. We will be back in 3 minutes. We'll be taking a break, but we'll see you on the other side.
The first U-Turn conference sponsored by the American Pastors Network was a life-changing experience for pastors and Christian leaders throughout Pennsylvania and beyond. Now we have the opportunity to take this conference across America. A matching gift offer for $30,000 will be doubled to $60,000 in order to bring U-Turn events to many more states in 2016. All gifts made through September 30 will be doubled. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and go to the Donate button to make your immediate gift to equip pastors and all believers to stand in the gap for truth.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. There's a search for five people missing in flash flooding on the Utah-Arizona border. Eight are dead with three rescued.
More rain is expected today, which could hamper rescue efforts. The wall of water swept away an SUV and a van. Hilldale Mayor Philip Barlow says
it's a wake-up call to the community that it's real.
Some homes are still without power and water due to the flooding.
Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers. A threat from North Korea.
A North Korean official quoted saying a nuclear enrichment plant is now active again. He added Pyongyang has also improved its nuclear weapons arsenal, this a day after it said it plans to launch a space rocket. South Korea today saying that would be a provocation, even North Korea's ally China urging it today not to fire a missile that experts say could be adapted to carry a nuclear warhead.
Fox News Radio's Alistair Wanklin. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson, 1800.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dull. And if this particular program is a blessing and an encouragement to you, as well as if it gives you some good information that will help you in your Christian life, don't hesitate to contact us, respond to us. You can do so by going to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is simply www.standinthegapradio.com. That's www.standinthegapradio.com. Today we are delighted to have with us Mr. Scott Lancer, who is the Director of Associates, for Biblical Research, referred to as ABR, which is a Christian apologetics ministry dedicated to demonstrating the historical reliability of the Bible through archaeological and biblical research. And Scott, it's just a delight to have you with us. You've got so much to share. I know that you folks are involved in some diggings over around the old city of Jericho and the city of, well, many of us refer to it as Ai, but I guess it's probably more appropriately pronounced I. But I'm wondering if you could share the significance of your dig that's uncovering the ruins of that city of Ai.
Yes. Well, we have been digging there for over 10 years now, and there was, for many years, there was another location that had been chosen for the location of Ai, and we came against that because we said, you know what, the evidence doesn't support that other site. And so we began our own original research, our own dig there in Israel, and we believe we have established very, very conclusively, very, very strongly at least, that the evidence there at our dig is shows that it is the city of Ai. And, of course, this is important because critics say, well, the conquest cities of Joshua, they say those cities never existed. In fact, Joshua didn't have a conquest. That never happened. And so what we've done is we've pieced together our research for Jericho, for Ai, and we piece those together to show people that, yes, indeed, these cities are real. The sites that you can go see, including our dig at Ai, if you go there, you're going to see evidence for the fact that, indeed, the conquest occurred, that Ai indeed existed as a city, and that Joshua's conquest is legitimate as well.
Scott, Sam here. In that regard, when you take and do a dig like this, not only are you finding in this case, I mean, if in this particular dig, is the revelation that in fact I existed, or are you finding other things along the way that are adding even greater significance? I mean, how do you rank the kinds of things when you do a dig like this? How do you rank and rate the kinds of finds that you find along the way?
Well, you're always looking for finds that are going to that will confirm the dating. The chronology is key because the critics are coming after you based on the chronology. So, for the Old Testament city of Ai, we were looking for ways to confirm that, and we have a number of ways that we do that. Primarily through the identification of pottery and the dating of pottery, but we've also discovered several Egyptian scarabs that help us to lock in the date. So we are confident that that our site corresponds with the biblical account, that the biblical date and the date of the site correspond to each other, and we're very excited about that. So what's interesting there is you not only have the Old Testament piece, which is the ancient city of Ai, but you also have a New Testament piece. We believe that it's very possible that our New Testament village is the village of Ephraim from the New Testament, and that is right now in the process. We're in the process of trying to show evidence for that. So our dig there is multifaceted because you have evidence from various times in history. So we have an Old Testament focus, we have a New Testament focus, and we're continuing our work there. It's very exciting.
Scott, can you explain for our listening audience just a little bit about how you go about securing or obtaining permission to do a dig, whether it be at Ai or any other city, and then how you go about reporting that the finds there to the Israeli government, or maybe perhaps how the Israeli government and Israeli officials are affected by these things that you are discovering that are validating the truth of the Bible?
Yeah, well, what's exciting for us is our dig is the largest dig in Israel now, and what's interesting about it is we have a close relationship with the Israeli Antiquities Authority. You have to submit each year. You have to submit an application to be given permission to do a dig there, and we've been at this a long time. Dr. David Livingston, our founder, began the process of building the relationship with the AIA. Dr. Bryant Wood has continued that. Dr. Scott Stripling, our current DIG director, is working in relationship with them now. So all of this is done, you know, under their auspices, and they have to give their approvals. It's a big undertaking, but it is a very, very exciting one.
Scott, you know, I'm just wondering, you are doing these various finding digs around Israel there, the Dead Sea, and so forth and so on. And I'm wondering, are the findings you are uncovering affecting the leadership of Israel, particularly as it might relate to their own significance or their relationship to Christians?
Well, there is definitely an impact on the leadership in Israel. I know that the Prime Minister has a great interest in archaeology. You know, he is especially interested in artifacts from the time of David. And so, yes, this definitely has an impact. And, of course, in Israel, the ironic thing about this is that some of their leading archaeologists completely reject their own biblical history. But other Israeli archaeologists, they embrace it. And the Prime Minister is interested in it. I know that there is a great scholarly debate and battle within Israel itself among their own archaeologists. And what we do at ABR is we enter into the discussion by providing evidences. And again, we're doing everything from a very scientific perspective, but of course we stand, of course, on the authority of the Word of God.
Yeah, well, you know, praise the Lord for that, because we do the same thing here at the American Pastors Network. Without the authority of the Word of God, you have nothing. And I know my heart, our heart, is with you in what you do over there. So praise the Lord. Sam, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and Scott, I want to go back on something here as well. Gary mentioned earlier that archaeology has never found anything that has disproven the validity of the historical biblical account. And you said that when you were looking at what you're doing there in Ai, you were actually thinking perhaps that that maybe was the town of Ephraim. So I'm looking from a perspective there. Do you go into a circumstance actually with an assumption that you're trying or hoping that your digging will confirm? Or can you give an example of something that you've gone into a dig and perhaps you found something that has completely changed the way you're thinking? Just share some insights on that.
Yeah, well, basically, there's work that's involved before you begin an excavation, and obviously you have surveys and various things that you're examining. You want to get a sense of what would be the best location to begin a dig, and the search for Ai has, you know, been going on for many, many years now. And I would just say this, that, yeah, we go into the dig with a particular idea of what we think is there, but obviously you have to always follow where the evidence leads you. And sometimes the evidence is disappointing. It doesn't match what you were hoping for. In our case, it has been a matter that it has affirmed we have biblical standards, biblical statements, very particular facts that have to be true in order for our site to be biblical Ai. And all of them match up. All of the biblical data is matching up to the geography, to the lay of the site there, where particular buildings are located, where Israel would have been, where they hid in the valley at the conquest of Ai. All these details all have to match up, and we are very blessed that indeed what we find at the site on the ground matches the biblical data.
Scott Lancer, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us, and we are down to less than 30 seconds. And so I just want to thank you for being with us. But I'm sure that there are people out there who are very interested in what you're doing. How can people get involved with the work of ABR?
Well, we would love to have people join us for our dig at Ai. And they just need to contact us, and they can contact us at our website, and that's probably the best way to get a hold of us.
Quickly, what is that?
It's www.biblearchaeology.org.
www.biblearchaeology.org. www.biblearchaeology.org.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Scott Lancer, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us today. Keep up the good work, and maybe one of these days we'll have you back with us on another edition of Stand in the Gap Today. Keep up the good work, and God bless you, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, we are not finished with the program. We're going to take a break, but the Lord willing, we will be back in about 4 minutes to talk with you about some other pertinent things to your life, to our nation, as it relates to the authority of the Word of God. So stay tuned. We will be right back after these messages.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
Nations who reject God will get evil rulers, and God is clear that when the evil bear rule, the people mourn. Today, our leaders arrogantly scoff at God and shamelessly violate His commands. And as God said would happen, the righteous are mourning. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. At APN, we encourage pastors to speak as prophets and boldly shout forth the truth to our leaders. On Mount Carmel, King Ahab, the evil political ruler, accused Elijah, the man of God, of being the source of Israel's economic troubles because he called sin, sin. Elijah did what pastors today must do when he declared, "I'm not the reason our land is suffering, O Ahab. It's you and the others in leadership because you've rejected God, His authority, and His commands." I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network saying, modern-day Elijahs are needed now more than ever. Will you encourage your pastor to speak like Elijah?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources, categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a delight to have you there by the radio. And, you know, that was a very, very good discussion with Scott Lancer, and hopefully in the near future we might be able to have him back and talk a little bit more about what they are doing over there in their digs in the Middle East. We want to change gears a little bit here, if we may, and talk somewhat about Donald Trump. You know, he's running for the presidency of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not aware of that, last night down in Dallas, Texas, he gathered together with about 23,000 of his fans. I suppose most of them were his fans. Some of them may not have been. But the thought of being able to gather that many people together in a four-day notice, on a Monday night, absolutely another part of the phenomenon that we are seeing there with Donald Trump. And we're going to talk a little bit more about him tomorrow, I think, on the program. But David Kistler, one of the things that I thought was very interesting is that Pastor Robert Jeffries, who, of course, is the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, introduced Donald Trump, and then somewhere in the speech, about 5 or 10 minutes, he came up and gave him a hug. I don't know. Was that an endorsement of Donald Trump? Your thoughts on this? I'd just be interested in hearing what you have to say.
Well, Gary, I actually watched the speech not live, but I watched it after the fact. I did not see Pastor Jeffries introduce Donald, but I did see the point, and you're right, 100% correct, about 5 to 10 minutes into the speech, Trump invited him up on the platform. He said, "Where's Pastor Jeffries?" He said, "I love this guy," and he locates him in the crowd, and he says, "Come on up here," and he invites him up on the platform, and there is there's an embrace there on the platform that seems to be very genuine from both Trump's and Pastor Jeffries' part. So obviously Donald Trump has great respect for Pastor Jeffries there, the pastor at First Baptist Dallas, and it goes the other way around. Pastor Jeffries has, I think, great respect for him. I don't know that it was an endorsement, Gary. I really don't know that it was that at all. I just think what Pastor Jeffries has said on numbers of interviews is that Trump is a leader. We have suffered a tragic lack of leadership for the last almost 8 years in the United States of America, and what leadership has been exerted has been in the wrong direction. And so he just appreciates the fact that Donald Trump is a leader. He's not a talker. He's a doer. And I think that's the sum total of where it is right now. Now, if there's more to it than that, I'm not aware of it.
Sam, you know, you've been involved with government and politics and gatherings like this for many, many years. I mean, what does it take to get 23,000 people in a four-day period to come and watch you for an hour or so in a case like that? I mean, he has some kind of aura about him that just draws people to him.
Gary, I mean, people don't come unless they want to, and they don't want to and change their schedule unless they feel that they're getting something, either a part of something, and that could be a part of a developing cause, or it could be because there's the expectation that this is a bus that I want to get on, I don't want to get off of, or miss. Or the other may be because they really do respond to what's saying. I think in the case of Trump, and perhaps there's a little bit of all of those, but he does happen to be addressing the issues of the greatest concern. Certainly talking about immigration in Texas, he knows the audience, and as I've heard some people say, he knew the audience and he spoke to them. Well, anybody in the political field better know their audience and speak to the audience. But on the other hand, what he's been saying, what he said about immigration there in Texas, is what he's saying anywhere else across the country. So I don't find that he's modifying his message to suit the crowd. And that's one thing I look at in the past. Many candidates, the Clintons in particular and many others, you will find them saying almost opposite things depending upon the crowd they address. Trump has at least been saying the same things regardless of who he stands in front of. So that is significant.
Well, you know, it, Gary, is very significant. Dave, go ahead. Yes.
I'm sorry, Brother Gary, didn't mean to jump in, but what Sam's saying is 100% correct. He's hammering the following things, and I listened to the speech and just jotted these things down. He always talks about immigration, stop the illegal intrusion of illegals into this country. Number two, renew America's economic greatness by deregulating and unleashing the economic engine that can be America again. Strengthen America's military, repeal and replace Obamacare, support our greatest resource, which is our veterans. And then, once again, finally, he talks about making America once again respected in the world. Gentlemen, it's simple stuff. It's almost Reagan-esque stuff as far as the topics he addresses. He doesn't go into great detail. He doesn't bog himself down in the minutiae of each of these. He just talks about these issues, and he gets the kind of response he got in Texas. So it's interesting.
But, Sam, is Donald Trump Reagan-esque?
Well, Gary, you set it up that we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, and in fact, I think we went back to think it deserves that discussion. Reagan-esque, you'd have to say, what is it? I mean, isn't it amazing that even the Republican structure, the hierarchy, who opposed Reagan when he was running years ago, after he won, all came around as if they were the ones that caused him to be elected? And which of these candidates running now wouldn't love to have Reagan's name associated with him? But if you ask somebody, what was it about Reagan that made him electric? What was it that made him such an outstanding individual? I'd have to say a lot of it was not just his knowledge of the issues, but he was consistently morally, constitutionally right on the issues, and he did manifest not just a knowledge of these things, but actually a track record of adherence to these things. And that's some of the things we have to look at some of these candidates now is, do they have a track record? When did they come to these conservative positions? Was it just yesterday? Or are they just happening to saying the right things at the right moment? These are the things I think we need to flesh out. I think the American people are wanting them to be fleshed out.
Well, we need good discussion on Homeland Security. We need good actions on Homeland Security. You know, Sam, Breitbart News reveals that the State Department and Homeland Security admits they have been admitting more than 250,000 Muslim migrants each year into the United States of America. And yesterday, we mentioned that Obama wants to admit an additional 10,000 Syrians. These are serious issues for us to be dealing with today, and we need a president who's going to deal with it.
Well, absolutely. And, of course, that's what Trump is talking about. And, Gary, to augment what you're saying, since between 2001 and 2013, that's not in the last years because more have come in, but between those times, 1.5 million, get this, 1.5 million Muslim-identified Muslim immigrants have been permanently resettled. They've been permanently resettled, automatic work permits, welfare access, and the ability to become voting citizens. Gary, this is a big issue. So when Trump talks about it, those folks in Texas understand it.
Well, they sure do. And I think that's probably why he's able to draw 23,000 people in a matter of 4 days down there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to continue to keep you informed as to what's going on in the presidential campaign. And it's really serious. It really is. So you'll want to listen to us on a regular basis. Our time is up for today. The Lord willing, we will be back with you again tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Stand in the Gap. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come. Have a good and a godly day, folks.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.